We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Everybody, welcome to the RotoWire Fantasy Baseball Podcast Tuesday, the final Tuesday podcast of this season. I'm sad to say that. That's weird. Fred and I have been doing this all season long, starting in the offseason, and here we are, last week of the season, Fred.
Yeah, it's bittersweet. We talked before we came on air that that in some ways it's a long grind with fantasy baseball season, so it feels like maybe it's time for a break. I think overall I do feel that way. At the same time, I had like a single tear when I did my last fab bids on Sunday night, and they weren't quite as dramatic as and exciting. They were okay, but my leagues are a little dramatic, but not quite as dramatic as they've been some previous years. So,
let's talk about your leagues. Tout Wars, without jinxing anything.
Yeah, Tout Wars is fine. We can fully talk about Tout Wars. I can't jinx that one at this point. Let's see if I can pull up my lead. I did look at the all-time leaderboard, and I thought once I had maybe a small chance. I'm at 107, and the next team's 83. So that one's – I couldn't screw that one up with all the jinxes in the world.
What's the secret to your success in that league?
My players played well. No. I actually went more stars and scrubs than most people recommend doing in an only. Mm-hmm. And it didn't totally – so Tatis worked great. Lindor did not, although he hasn't been like a complete zero or anything, but he's been disappointing. He's not worth the whatever 33 or something I spent.
Better lately than earlier.
Absolutely. Yeah, for sure. But I had this lead kind of even before he started playing well. Ozzie Albies worked great. I ended up trading him for Walker Buehler like in July. But if that pick didn't work out, I wouldn't have been able to make that trade. Max Muncy did great, especially in an OBP league. Oh yeah. Trevor Bauer did not work great. Although the one thing I will say about Trevor Bauer, which would be the only thing anyone said remotely positive about Trevor Bauer in months, is he played really well for my team and then he was gone and I cut him. So I didn't have to have him in my lineup for like, you know what I mean? Like for weeks on end, I'm getting poor production. I got good production and then I put in a reliever for him for the rest of the year because it's an NL only and you can't get more starters. Luis Castillo is leading the league in losses, majors and losses, but he was actually an okay pick, but not a great pick.
Right.
I think.
Well, the thing is, he's got new strikeouts still.
Yeah.
He's been.
His ratios are okay now. They're not great, but they're not good. But I had some good cheap guys. So I stayed at a dollar days, but I stayed in like $2 days, $4 days. Adam Wainwright was a cheap buy. Adrian Hauser, was that a nice season, was a cheap buy. Brandon Crawford was a good cheap buy. Adam Duvall was $5 or something like that, was a good cheap buy. Omar Narvaez had a pretty solid season. I picked up Frank Schwindel right at the trade deadline, right after the Cubs cleaned house. So I had some of those guys who worked out well. Kenley Jansen, we talked about once or twice on here this season, was my closer, and I remember when I talked about how I traded Jake McGee and I traded Stephen Crichton, and nobody really wanted to pay for Kenley Jansen, I felt like, at the auction or when we were talking trade. Everyone was like, I don't feel good about him. So I just kept him, and he's been fine. Like, not amazing, but he's got his 30 saves or whatever. I don't know exactly what he's at right now, but he's basically got 30 saves.
So two of my three best teams have Kenley Jansen.
Yeah.
And for that reason, I mean, I think I got him in the ninth round in the main, maybe eighth round. Point is, he wasn't caught. He didn't cost the same as all the other top closers. There was a
actually
little
36 saves. There it is. That was more than I thought.
Yeah.
The Dodgers are just so good that even sharing saves a little bit, he still has 36.
Yeah, that's right. So I got Kenley Jansen the six. I did for him there in the main. So that's pick 77. But I got him after Iglesias, after Karinchak in this league, after Presley, after Diaz, after Chapman, Hader, obviously, and Liam Hendricks. So, before Rosenthal, I could have gotten that landmine. I avoided stepping on that landmine. Before Brad Hand, there's another one. Ooh, yeah, that one was fun. That one went south in a hurry when it went south.
And
completely too. But he was pretty much the break point. Then there was a big drop off on like the next group of closers there. So he worked out really well, basically, is the point.
A lot of those names did, which is a whole separate topic. But if you went early, if you went early closer this year and you didn't take Rosenthal, you're probably pretty happy. Presley's save total's a little low, but like he's been okay. I think you're generally satisfied. You're happy with Hendricks. You're happy with Hader. Chapman had his issues, but I have him in the main. He's been fine. He's in the third. He's got 30 saves. Like that's fine in this landscape. Like round five or six, Iglesias was great. Jansen's been good. If you went early closer, and didn't get Rosenthal, you were mostly happy. I didn't really count Hand in that. I felt like he went a little later than those other guys. So
yeah, he did. Especially the later we went. Yes.
Yes. Yes. If you went in those top six, seven closers this year, it worked out really well for you.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. Yeah. Are we going to ever see like a 50 closer guy again? The leader right now is Mark Melancon with 38. Hendricks has 37, Jansen 36. I know it's not that long ago when we had Edwin Diaz, breaking records and all that. But, the way usage has evolved, and not just how it's evolved, but how many teams have adapted that usage. Are we going to, how much lower is the floor? I mean, it seems like we can get by with fewer saves.
Oh, we definitely can get by. You're right, with fewer saves. If you can have one good closer who gets you 35 and then fiddle around with the rest of it. Like you can, as far as getting by, meaning sit in the middle of the pack in your league, then my main event team has, 46, 47 saves right now and is like kind of middle of the pack ish, or just maybe a little below middle of the pack. Like it's not good, but it's okay. So will we ever see a 50 save closer? I actually think we will. It's just, we won't see them very often. When we do see them, they're going to be like so valuable for that 1 year. So if I look at the Dodgers right now, they have 42, 47, 52 saves this year. So the Dodgers have 52 saves this year. We just need to see the right team where, like, if Tony La Russa could give Liam Hendricks 50 saves, I think he would. I was high on Hendricks in draft season just for that reason. La Russa is an old school manager. I felt like he would use him as much as he would use him like it was 10 years ago or more. And he mostly has. So they just haven't got, I'm just pulling them up right now, but they haven't had that volume. Yeah, they haven't had that volume of save chances. Like Hendricks has 37. The rest of the team has five.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, so he's handled in that way. We just needed to see the White Sox get, they needed to be, then they're a good team. They needed to be the team who had 50 save chances this year. And then we would have seen Hendricks up 45 or something like that.
In the past, I've done a targets article based on previous years. What do you need to hit, hit 80th percentile? And it always used to be like 70 saves, that would almost win the category for you. And this is a full season we're talking about now.
Yep.
I didn't do it because last year we were drawing off the 2 month season. So it was a little bit different. Mm-hmm. Now I kind of feel like, all right, well, I have to change it. It's going to be fun to do that article. That will be one fun off season activity that we will have to do is figuring out my targets, as I will be doing that this year. I kind of took a break from that this past year just because everything was so weird. But I think it's relevant again. So it'll be fun to kind of look at that.
Yeah. The interesting thing with closers too is, I mean, some of them this year, I am finding a little more closer wins. I think that's probably because a little bit because of the 10th inning rule this year. That, like, I bet if I went and really researched that out a little bit, and again, teams have changed how they manage their bullpens a bit, but yeah. But in general, once your closers, they're really unique in that once your closers in September, if you don't need saves anymore. So let's say you drafted Hendricks and Melanson and you nailed it and you're winning your league in saves, you know, maybe even picked up a Dylan Floro along the way or something like that. All of a sudden, it's like, what do you do with these guys? You can leave them in and hope that they get a vulture win or something and just let them help your ratios. But at that point, they lose, once the saves don't matter to you anymore, they lose so much of their value. And we've almost hit a landscape where if you can nail two closers and then scrap any little bit of saves off waivers, because you don't know you've nailed the two closers until late in the season. Like the bottom could drop at any time. Once you get a lead in saves, it's just like, what do you do with these guys? It's like having Joey Gallo and having the lead in home runs right now. What do you do with them? Are you keeping them just for the RBIs and runs? But the closers are so specific where I'm sure there's teams out there who aren't using them this week and last week.
Oh yeah. There's teams out there who have probably a 12-teamer where I've got Hendricks on my bench.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I have a 15-teamer. I've got four closers theoretically active this week. Mm-hmm. That's a good team actually. That's mixed labor where I picked up Michael Fulmer for like the 8,000th time this season. But because he's getting saves again there. And that was a tough call actually, because I could gain a point or two in wins, or I could try to gain like 3 or 4 points in saves. It was just,
You're up to top spot in that league now.
Yeah, today I am. This is the first day I've been in first place in that league.
I won't jinx it. I'll say I did.
Yeah, but
darn it.
It's all right. For you. All you're saying is what? Go ahead. I interrupted you.
No, I was just saying that I you're right. I haven't, that's my worst league this year. And I haven't been checking it regularly. And I knew you were hunting around, and I knew ESPN was in top spot for a long time, but had kind of slowly faded. So that one's coming down to Sunday afternoon.
Every day it's a new person in first place. There's like six teams that have a chance to win that, which is awesome. And there's a history in that league of like 10 points changing in the last week. It can happen. Steve Gardner caught Zach Steinhorn, who's 1 year doing that in the last week. Zach Steinhorn's one of the teams that are right there. Ray Flowers is right there. Ryan Bloomfield's right there. You mentioned the ESPN folks, Rudy, he's at 88.5 points, but I've seen that change in a hurry.
Right.
And the thing is, chances are if he's gaining, then he's gaining it from the people that are above him. So he's going to pull them down too with him. I think there were teams at like 115 at one point. Now 106 is in first. It's really, really tight at the top.
Yeah, and that's going to be this is when you get the great races. I find sometimes when the league champion in that league this year is going to have a low total. It's going to right now you would win with 106. If nobody pulls away and the leader wins with less than 110, you're going to have a fantastic finish, which is awesome.
That's right. So my dilemma this week is, you know, it's hard chasing wins in the final week of the season. First of all, pitchers don't often go deep. I could gain. I'm 1.1 win behind two teams. I'm 4 wins behind the next team. So realistically, I can gain 2 points there. I'm not going to get net 4 better than someone else. Yep. There's 2 teams, 2 wins below me, and 3 teams, 3 wins below me. So I'm in this really tight spot.
Yeah.
You know, I could just load up on starters, but the starters, quality starters isn't great. Meanwhile, I could win. I could gain 2 points in saves, or I could lose 3 very easily. So it's like I decided to go 5 starters, 4 closers this week.
Right.
And so we'll cross fingers. I didn't have it. I Clase pitched an inning yesterday, but it wasn't a save chance. Joe Barlow, who we spent plenty of bandwidth on before, you and I tossled over him. He's got 9 saves. He's got a 1.67 ERA and a 0.85 WHIP. He's been really good.
Yeah, absolutely. I think with you, we're talking about chasing wins. I think something that sometimes people get carried away with too, and I think you handled it correctly. People will stream these bad one start pitchers in an effort to chase a win, and then they won't play Joe Barlow, and then he'll get a win this week, or Class A. Like, these relievers are getting wins. I know, again, I know the 10th inning rule, which may be temporary, is helping them, but they're getting wins. And you just, a one start pitcher, like if you started, I don't know. It's just, I don't know. Anyways, if you started a bad one start pitcher this week, and like, what are the odds that that guy actually gets a win? Like, if that's a guy who say starts all year and finishes the year with 9 wins, well, he's winning like one out of every 3.5 starts. Like, what are the odds?
9 is being generous, by the way.
For some of them, it is. Yes, yeah. You're right. The guy, the kind of guys who are on waivers still, I pointed out to you.
Good pitchers have 9 wins right now.
Absolutely. I pointed out to you in the notes just that I know last night was a small scheduling. It was just 5 games, but it was San Maritan on the Reds was the only starter last night who would have helped your ratios.
Right.
Every other starter last night hurt your ratios to some degree, hurt one or the other or both. And a couple of them did get wins. Well, like Keuchel got a win while hurting your ratios. But anyone who is, you know, debating, just, I know it's small sample size, but anyone who rolled out one of those guys, and they would have been popular because there's some 2-star pitchers there pitching on the Monday. They all hurt your ratios. And most of them did not get you a win for your troubles.
Yeah, that's right. So it's fun. You know, all these decisions you have to make now, they're fun. But they're mind-blowing too.
I know. And you ended up just looking and looking and looking at the same problem over and over. Like during the season, you kind of look and then you're like, okay, I got to factor in wins or I got to factor in saves. And then you kind of make a decision and then you move on. But that last week, you can look at it forever.
Trying to
figure out, should you start this reliever or this starter, or which of these 2 starters should you go with?
Yeah. And who do I bench? Like I want to be really loyal to Nestor Cortez. He's been great, but he always throws like 4 1/3 and he has 2 wins. And you know, am I concerned more with ratios, maybe Ks, or should I be more concerned with, you know, trying to get a win, trying to get, you know, that and you know how wins and saves are so darn tight. I made that decision on benching Cortez this week. So that is what I did.
I've said all year, if I think that the pitcher is not going to throw 5 innings, I'm not starting him. That's been my like MO all year, whether I think he'll pitch well or not. If I don't think he's going to throw 5 innings, I'm not starting him.
I think that's a good rule of thumb. It would be a good decision. Speaking of good decisions, if there's one thing we appreciate here at RotoWire, it's making good decisions and even more so making the right decision. Listen up, folks. I have an incredible offer for you with RotoWire's newest partner, WynnBET, the premier digital casino and sportsbook app. WynnBET is now the exclusive sponsor for RotoWire's fantasy podcast. WynnBET brings you all the latest action with a user-friendly interface, moneyline bets, boosted parlays, over-unders, round robins, live betting, and so much more at your fingertips. Want a break from sports betting? Head into WynnBET's digital casino and take a spin on roulette. Double down in blackjack, slam the slots, or try your hand at Baccarat. WynnBET is currently available in 6 states, Colorado, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Tennessee, Virginia. And if you've been listening all along, you know what those states are by now. While rapidly expanding, at WynnBET, the possibilities are limitless. WynnBET is currently offering all RotoWire listeners a risk-free bet up to $500 on your first wager. Download WynnBET now. That's WynnBET. WynnBET. The exclusive partner for RotoWire's fantasy podcasts. All right. So how are your other league teams doing? You're still in first place with Jeff Zimmerman in the main.
Yep. That one is not locked up. That's my one stressful one. And there's another NFBC that I'm doing with Jeff where we could get some money or not get some money, depending on how this week goes. The main would be my main stressor. Tyler Anderson got me on Saturday night. Oh. That was the 2 runs, 9 innings. That was a tough one to wear, especially because he's one of those pitchers who you could have conceivably not used. Like I've Max Scherzer on that team. If he gets me, I won't even feel bad because there was never a decision with putting him in my lineup. It'd just be annoying.
Right.
Anderson.
You'd be mad at him.
Anderson, like it was a good matchup. It was the Angels. The Angels have been really bad since like all the process was there. The Angels have been really bad in the second half with no Trout, no Rendon. And Anderson had been really good in the American League and pretty consistent just overall this year. So we have in that league Ranger Suarez, and he threw that complete game shutout in the late afternoon. And we have Aroldis Chapman, and he got a save in the late afternoon. And around 7 o'clock, I thought, geez, we might be able to jump up into that like top 22 where in the overall and get a payout there. I didn't look at what we were at. I didn't want to jinx it. I just didn't look at it. And left it all alone. But I knew going into the day, we were somewhere around like late 30s, maybe 40th. And I was like, okay, this is really good. Like if Anderson has a good start, we get a good start and a win out of him. We get 2 wins and a save today and good ratios. Like maybe we could get up and have a chance, get up into the low 30s and have a chance. And then Anderson just gas canned the whole thing. And now the overall is not even a factor anymore.
Yeah, that's frustrating.
Just annoying. I could have had like a lot of, I would have been a really fun week. I haven't played the main event in like 15 years until this year. So,
wow.
And back then I would just kind of get my feet wet. So, yeah, it would have been a really fun week to look at the overall standings every day. I would have really enjoyed that, but it's not going to happen now.
It's been a while since I've had cause to look for the overall standings for myself. There was a year I was third overall at the All-Star break.
Wow.
I didn't even finish in the money in my own league that year.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I just fell apart in the second half. Fourth. In the last week, it was really the tough part too. Just completely collapsed in the last week. Went from second in my league to fourth. Made no money at all. So yeah, try not to get too caught up in it there. It is basically the takeaway there.
Yeah. Now, how many stressful leagues do you have this week? Because you have a lot more leagues than I do, I believe.
Yeah, I
know last week you were saying that they didn't go overall as well this year, but I'm sure you still have some stressors this week.
Yeah. Last week was actually a good week.
Good.
You mentioned labor. The second chance league that I'm in, it's Rob Silver and I going back and forth, basically, though there's a couple other teams that are pretty close too. It's a league I share with Liz, NFBC, that Memorial Day draft. And we're currently tied with Rob for first in that one. And I can still cash in the main, in one of my two main event leagues. There's a few others that, you know, I'm in cashing spots, but those are the big ones. Those are the ones I'm really paying attention to.
Good. Yep. Well, hopefully I actually hope something for you and for me. I hope something comes down to Sunday afternoon, although there's football on and all that jazz, but this last Sunday of fantasy baseball season, I find
that's a hell of a day.
I've had a couple, pardon me.
It's a hell of a day when you've got something on the line.
I've had two. Now, they weren't Sunday after. One of them wasn't a Sunday afternoon. I've had two of my Tout Wars wins came right down to like the last game. And it was just, now, I guess it was fun because it worked out for me. Maybe it wouldn't have been fun if it didn't work out for me, but it was really fun. And one of them was a Sunday afternoon where I think I had the lead by like a point and a half on Sunday. And I just needed, you know, my team to hit a few homers and I'd be set or whatever, but it was really fun.
I got to admit, I preferred it when the season ended like on a Thursday or a Wednesday and they had everybody playing that last night.
Yeah.
That was fun. I still remember the year, like the Rays, they did this and the Rays clinched the playoffs when Evan Longoria's homer down the
line. I remember that. Yes.
That was a hell of a day. That was great day. And I think there was I had a lot of fantasy skin in the game that day too, but it was fun. Now we don't have those races right now. That's one of the problems, actually, with the playoffs as it's structured now, is those races for those last spots can be really bad. And if you ever if we do expand back to eight, you know, it takes away all that. And I just think the tension's way gone. I mean, you're looking at the ninth best team versus the eighth best team. And it's like, who cares?
Right. Yeah. No. Unless you're that team. Understand. Yeah, I can understand that for sure. So. I think that year with the Longoria homer too, there was a lot of tight races. I love baseball, but I also love a lot of sports, and just baseball season ending while there's like seven football games going on at the same time is it's not ideal. And no. You can move it to Saturday night, the Saturday, you know what I mean? But then you're going to compete with college football, which I've heard that you Americans really enjoy. So
and also social lives and all that.
Yeah. You know. So I don't know if that's a great fit. So you're right. Maybe a midweek ending would be really fun, or I don't know. Maybe the landscape's too crowded and they should leave it alone. I don't know. A Monday night ending. I don't think Monday night football is that big. It's big, but not, you know, it's one game. You could.
It's not as big as it used to be.
Yeah. You could wrestle away.
Sunday night's a bigger game than the Monday night game now.
Yeah. And you could wrestle away from the Monday night. I think you could wrestle that crowd a bit and get some of them if it was a big night. But anyways, I don't know. Maybe there's no easy solution there. Either way, I will be excited on Sunday afternoon to see how my leagues finish up.
One of my favorite days in sports actually is that Monday night where there's Monday night football and you have like the game fives of the wild card.
Right.
Or not the LDSs, I guess it would be. But that's a fun day. You know, elimination games are still so awesome.
Oh, yeah, you're right. I can't wait, actually, just even this week as a Jays fan is something I've been waiting for a while.
Yeah, how are you feeling right now?
Okay. I'm worried about Ryu tonight a lot. So fantasy angle, if you're thinking of starting him, I think you have to. But this is kind of why Toronto signed him, right? To lead that rotation. And I know Ray's unexpectedly let it for now, but he's signed kind of to lead that rotation. I know it's not a 30-year, million-dollar-year deal, but it's a big deal. And they gave him a little extended break here to get ready, which I think he needed. But he needs to beat the Yankees tonight. And he probably, and then if necessary, he needs to, well, it will be necessary if they're still in it, he needs to beat the Orioles on Sunday. So, like, I'm a little worried because Cole's tomorrow. If they could split the first two games. So I haven't been to a Blue Jays game since pre-COVID. And I have tickets Thursday night to the Robbie Ray start.
Oh, wow.
And I'm pumped, nice. And they're good seats. But I need the Jays to split those first two games so they're still, you know, right there in striking distance on the Thursday. If they can get to the weekend, at least within a game of New York or Boston, I think that then, the like, if you're the Blue Jays, you have to sweep the Orioles.
Yeah. I mean, like you just want to have a chance. And
absolutely.
You know, the thing is, we saw, you know, the tough part was, like, if you're an A's fan, you know, last night was really tough. Cole Irvin got crushed again. Yeah. Apparently, Cole Irvin, said something like, I should be striking out more of these Mariners or something in his first outing. And they've crushed him now five times.
Amazing.
And, you know, how is Cole Irvin giving bulletin board material?
Yeah. Yeah. Don't poke the bear, even if it's just a little bear like the Mariners. But,
right. Yeah,
Cole Irvin is not in a position. Good season overall. And, you know, surprising fantasy season. Although he kind of messed up those numbers a bit last night, but he was certainly helpful. Although the strikeout rate's poor, but you're right. Cole Irvin, you're right. That's a disappointing, the A's have had a disappointing, I know Scott and you have talked about that, but a disappointing end of the year.
It is a disappointing.
Yeah. And between those and your Reds, both teams like in it and then ran around mid-September, dropped out of it.
Yeah. I like that the Reds, you know, once they put themselves in this bad position, they finally won a series this weekend against the Nats. First time in like nine series that they've won a series. Oh, but the Cardinals have won 16 in a row. Ridiculous.
Yeah, absolutely. Good for the Cardinals. I mean, they showed up when nobody was thinking Cardinals earlier this season and like midseason. A lot of veterans on that team leading the way too. I don't think they'll get past the wild card, but awesome that they're in it and their fans get that one game, probably against the Dodgers, probably overmatched. Well, definitely overmatched if they're facing the Dodgers, but whatever, it's one game. Maybe Nolan Arenado gets a hold of a couple and they win. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, maybe. But yeah. That's the thing. And I guarantee you, like, you know, the Dodgers, you know, are like, I don't want to deal with this Cardinals devil magic. They've had enough series against the Cardinals in the playoffs where it hasn't gone well. We know it won't be Kershaw getting that start, for instance. It'll be Scherzer. It'll be Bueller. Anybody, you know, because Kershaw has his personal nightmares against the Cardinals. So probably won't be that. Before we move on, quick note from our friends at Vivid Seats. The summer is coming to an end, which means only one month until, a week until postseason baseball. Mm-hmm. Need to update that read. There's no better place to be than Vivid Seats to watch your team race towards the postseason, like Fred is doing on Thursday. So grab your MLB tickets, maybe a stadium hot dog or two, and cheer on your favorite team from the stands. Even better, they have a rewards program designed to provide real rewards for fans. Earn rewards, ticket upgrades, and perks just for shopping. If you're looking for tickets to the game to see your favorite performer or that new show everyone is talking about, Vivid Seats has it all. Visit vividseats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats, experience it live.
My tickets were purchased, by the way, on Vivid Seats.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Good endorsement. Nice.
Yeah.
And so did you, very cool. And you said you got good seats there too. So
yeah, nice. They had the best prices. I kind of shopped around a few of so the Jays just expanded from 15,000 to 30,000 max capacity.
Oh, wow.
So, but I bought my tickets about 2 weeks ago before they had done that. So I had to buy them from the secondary market because they were sold out. And Vivid Seats had the best price. So, and I'm not even saying that just for the sake of this advertisement. They actually did.
No. Well, it's the best sort of endorsement is one where you actually use the product. You know, who knows?
Yes.
Who
knew? They also had, now I'm endorsing them even more, but they also had, I hate it when you go to buy tickets online and they show you a price and then you hit checkout and the price just all of a sudden goes up like $100. you know, yeah. for fees and everything else. The Vivid right. Seats, they gave me a price, and then it either didn't go up at all or barely went up when I went to checkout. And I was like, okay, like you almost click on like the next steps as you're purchasing them, like, and you cringe, like, okay, yeah. what are you going to hit me with here? What kind of processing fee are you going to hit me with? And they didn't. So that was good.
Maple syrup fee.
Yes.
Tim Hortons yeah. fee. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
No, they did not do that. Very good. Okay. Let's talk about some of these races. We talked a little bit about this. I mean, the funny thing is, you know, there's the AL East wild card, and then there's the Giants versus Dodgers. Really, everything else is pretty much settled.
Give the Phillies a little bit of a chance.
Yeah, they're playing the Braves.
Right? They're playing the Braves. So
yeah.
If they could sweep them, they're in first. If they could even get two out of three, then they're a game and a half out. A game and a half probably is too much, but it gives them a shot. If the Phillies can win five this week, five of six, that's where I'm at with my Blue Jays. If the Jays need, I think the Jays need to win five out of six this week. The Phillies can win five out of six, then they've got a shot.
Yeah.
So.
They do.
Yeah. I'll give it to them, but I know low odds at this point.
Right. All it takes is like one win for the Braves, and they've got their best three starters going this week too. So, Max Fried has been pretty darn good lately. Mm-hmm. How are you treating him for next year?
Yeah, I don't think I've ever had Fried on a team, and I'm not against him. I don't know why I have never had him. But no, I'm good with him. You know, high ground ball rate, which is awesome. It's just the strikeouts are typically like kind of meh. Like his career strikeout rate's 9, exactly. So, and he's not now he's been a better whip guy the last couple of years. So at the beginning of his career, I felt like he was overrated in fantasy because he was a high whip guy. And I felt like everyone was looking at the ERA was solid, which it is, but that like when those whips were in the 1.3, he's like, you can't have that anymore. Because your team's whip is like below 1.2 now or around there, or right around there, depending on how well your team's doing. But now, this year, 111 whip. So with a BABIP, that's like pretty normal for this era and for his skill set. So, I'm open to him next year as like maybe a low end number two. I have a hunch that I'm not going to end up with him, that other people are going to want him more than me, but I'm definitely open to having him. What about you?
I traded for him in labor. That was when I traded away Joey Votto.
Right.
And, you know, hey, Votto's been fine since that trade too. But, you know, it's just what I needed at the time. And, you know, that's the thing. I might be jinxing him super hard right now, and that's my fault for doing that. But he threw a Maddux last time out. He's not going to get you tons of Ks. But, man, I mean, he's starting to get deeper into games. Since coming off the IL, he's been really darn good. And so you like seeing that there. At one point he had like a 139 whip. It's down to 111. The Braves as a whole, I mean, you look at Charlie Morton, he's been way better in the second half too. Mm-hmm. They've done a good job. Just everything's kind of come together.
Absolutely. And realistically, I do think they'll put the Phillies away probably in this series, but I just for the part of me that loves drama is hoping the Phillies Wheeler pitches tonight. I'm hoping the Phillies win tonight. And at least create that drama. Get to a game and a half tonight, and let's create some. The more drama, the better. But yeah, I think the Braves have been pitching well, and I think they will finish them off.
Right. I think you're probably right about that one there. So that one, that's they're 2.5 games up on the Phils right now. Mm-hmm. It's going to take one win by the Braves, and it's pretty much over. Pretty much. I mean, stranger things could happen.
Yeah, I know. Actually, you're right. If they're going into the weekend 2.5 down, you're right. Actually, the more I think about it, they need to sweep the Braves.
Yeah,
the Phillies would need to sweep it. If they just win 2 out of 3.
If they win 2 out of 3, they're a game and a half out. It's still possible.
It's possible. But if they that was my thought. They could sweep if the Phillies sweep their weekend set and the Braves only win one. I haven't looked ahead to see who the Braves have on the weekend, but I've just taken this whole thing. I'm most so focused on the Blue Jays right now that everything else I'm just kind of watching one day at a time.
Rest are just details.
Ones I've like memorized, all theirs and all New York's and Boston's and everything, but the other ones, yeah.
Philly gets Miami this weekend at Miami.
They could sweep that.
Yeah. Maybe. They do go against Alcantara, Luzardo, and Rogers.
Yeah, not good, actually. That would be a tough sweep, actually.
It'll be difficult, although who knows how much they'll use those guys. But, I mean, the Marlins would probably love to be the spoiler there. Braves get the Mets in Atlanta.
That's my bigger issue is that I don't know if the Mets can win that series.
Yeah. Looking at the Braves, I mean, they've got the big three going against Philly, Morton, Fried, and Anderson. Enoa's their fourth. They got Chavez making a start on and I'm sure that's just an open. It's Jesse Chavez crying out loud, who actually has been really good this year. 104 whip, 227 ERA, but still, it's they're not a deep rotation. Let's leave it like that.
That's right. So I guess, yeah, it's a great path for the Phillies. It's like you need to take down the Braves' aces yourself. Mm-hmm. And then with those Friday and Saturday starters, Enoa's had some good starts this year, but not much lately.
Right.
So, you know, maybe he's kind of fading here late in the season. He was hurt for a while. I don't know. He doesn't have a big track record of success either. So then it's like, well, then now they're throwing their like two, you know, a bad starter and basically a reliever. And maybe they lose those games. So, but I like how the Phillies get their aces. So it's like Phillies, if you want to win this division, you go out and beat the Braves aces. And I believe the Phillies are throwing I think Wheeler and Nola are both in that series. I think Suarez isn't.
Yeah, it's Wheeler. It's basically Suarez is the one outlier here. But it is Wheeler, Nola, and Gibson. So
good enough. Yeah, that's
Gibson,
good enough.
You don't know what you're going to get.
Yep.
He could turn into last year's Kyle Gibson, as he has in a few starts for Philly already this year. Or he could be the guy that they traded for, too. Suarez goes, I think, on Friday.
Yep, he does.
And then Kraus is who they're tentatively listed as. And Wheeler gets a second start if it matters over the weekend. Mm-hmm. That's one of the things in fantasy leagues is you want, if you're a Wheeler guy, you're really hard for the Phillies in the other games too, because you really need Wheeler to make that second start.
Yeah, I don't know what his incentive is to make it otherwise. I guess he's
Cy Young.
I feel like he can't win the Cy Young now. Like, do you think he could really win the Cy Young right now over Scherzer?
Probably not.
I think he can't. That being said, this is the best year of his career, and he may want to finish it strong no matter what and pitch on the Sunday. He leads the majors in innings this year. You know, maybe he'll want to hang on to that one, like to put that away, although he might have it put away already. This has been his best year. He's at 240 strikeouts. Maybe he'll want to get to 250, right? So he'll probably be at 247 or something after the Braves game. So maybe he'll want to get over 250, lead the majors in strikeouts. I'm just kind of sorting he leads the NL. He's four behind Ray. If he starts this weekend, he could lead the majors in strikeouts this year. That'd be pretty cool if you're Zach Wheeler.
Yeah, I'd say so.
Like he's not DeGrom. He's not Scherzer. He doesn't have that. He's a good pitcher, but he doesn't have that kind of history. Yeah. He'd probably love to lead the majors in strikeouts. So since he's on my main event team, Phillies, go ahead and throw him out twice this week. And let's have this guy lead the majors in strikeouts.
Boy, how dramatic has the Mets collapse been? They've lost five in a row, nine of the last 10. They're now nine games under 500. They were like for 4.5 months, they were leading the NL East, and they were the only team looking like they were the playoff team in the NL East. And they've just completely imploded.
Absolutely. I feel bad for Mets fans. I feel like these things happen. The Mets aren't just terrible. Like, it'd be worse to be a fan of a team that's just consistently always hopeless. But I feel like these things happen to Mets fans all the time where hope meets despair at some point in the season. And it's just when they were succeeding, though, they were not hitting. And so much of the success was on DeGrom and the pitching in general. But they were not, like, I remember thinking they were leading their division and they were like bottom five in the majors in OPS, which is just like that's hard to sustain. And then they lose DeGrom. And I mean, even when they were leading the division, I bet if you told Mets fans in July that DeGrom had made his last start, they'd say, well, but the collapse has been really epic. Even like, it's not like they've just lost because of DeGrom being out. The collapse has been pretty epic overall.
But I wonder if that just took the wind out of their sails though, too.
It might have.
Yeah. By the way, maybe. DeGrom will not pitch this weekend. They were thinking about trying to get him going for this weekend. They decided not to do it. So we will not see him anymore this year. So there's that. We'll see Thor. In fact, by the time you listen to this podcast, he'll probably have already begun. I think he's pitching the first game of the doubleheader today.
Right.
So I'm interested. Did you pick him up anywhere, like in friends and family or anything, just knowing that he's going to get a start?
I did not. No, he'll be a really interesting guy to evaluate, though, for next season. Like the Mets in general, him and DeGrom, like the Mets, this is where he's at with the Mets. They could go either way next year. DeGrom could be awesome. Thor's not back with them next year, right? He's a free agent next year.
I think you might be right about that, but I think he wants to be back.
he wants to be back, and maybe he will be. It would make a lot of sense. But see, I got carried away, and then it's like I could picture the Mets rotation all fixed, and DeGrom's fixed, and Thor's fixed, and somehow this offense that I just looked up is now 24th in OPS, still hanging out near the bottom of the league, is fixed because it has some good names in that lineup.
Right.
And
well, the funny thing too is, yeah, they you look at that, what they were a good offense last year, objectively good, and then they added Lindor.
Yeah.
Like, okay, this should be a pretty good team. And that is not the way it's been. And not a good offense at all. Like Conforto has been horrible. I'm going to pick up Thor, by the way.
Yeah.
I'm going to pick, because why not? In friends.
Why not? Just have some fun with it.
Yeah, exactly. So I've got plenty of Drek I can cut. Jed Lowry, see ya. You're gone. Be gone. There you go.
The fun part of the last season is last week is you can basically cut anyone and you won't regret it.
Yes, that's right.
It's such a freeing feeling to do that last Sunday fab. And you're like, do I want this guy this week? I do not. He's gone. And I don't have to worry about him biting me. I don't have to worry about someone picking him up. He's out of here.
Exactly. Only thing is keeper leagues. But
yeah,
other than that, you're right.
Yes. Oh, Dominic Smith, by the way, while we're talking about disappointing Mets, holy moly, Dominic Smith has been awful. 666.
So Michael Conforto. Yes.
And Conforto's been awful too, for sure.
And you paid a lot more for Conforto.
You did. Yeah.
Yeah, that one's a rough one for me. I had a little bit of Conforto, paid up for him in a staff keeper league too. So that stench goes on forever. No, I just won't keep him next year. Yeah. But it's like just such a waste of draft capital too. Mm-hmm. Before we move on to the Fred's most important race, and that as well as the NL West, we're going to cover the NL West and then handicap the Blue Jays in the AL wildcard. But before that, quick note from our friends at Yahoo. The new NFL season is underway, and Yahoo is excited to kick off daily fantasy football. There will be a ton of big prize contests throughout the season on Yahoo, including their multi-entry contest now being shark-free. To celebrate the beginning of football season and Yahoo Daily Fantasy becoming shark-free, Yahoo is giving all users the opportunity to claim free $10 in contest entry credit. Users can take advantage of this free $10 contest entry credit offer to join one of Yahoo's biggest contests. In addition to the free credit, Yahoo has a $1 million DFS football contest live. The $1 million contest features $1 million in total prizes, including first place receiving $100,000 and an entry into the first ever Yahoo Fantasy Football Championship live finals event, which will occur at MGM National Harbor in Maryland this December. Play daily fantasy football on Yahoo this season. Visit sports.yahoo.com/dailyfantasy/welcome. To claim the free $10 offer to get started.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unified, UNIFYD healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
I'm Jeff Erickson, here with Fred Zinke. We're handicapping races. Quick note from Ryan Roof, who wanted to talk about DeGrom. He goes, ultimately, Phil Dussault, yep. I believe it's Dussault, as I've been told. I'm having him on the podcast Thursday morning. He was right in cutting DeGrom. He nailed it. And remember, he was ahead of the curve in when to cut DeGrom.
Yep, absolutely. Phil was right on basically everything this season. I'm sure on Thursday he can name a bunch of things he was wrong on, because even when you win, you're wrong a bunch of times. But he was right basically all the time this season. But you're right, yeah. Cutting DeGrom for Phil, for anyone, sorry, was a great move. He made some other aggressive pitcher cuts I'm sure he could tell you about on Thursday. I forget if he cut Walker Buehler like a week or two ago in a league where I guess he just doesn't need pitching. I don't know. I'm pretty sure he did.
So
you should
far
ask
ahead.
About that on Thursday.
He's just shutting it down and putting
it in. Imagine how you don't need some of the things Walker Buehler does. Like, you don't need wins, strikeouts, or the ratios help. But so I would be interested in that. Ask him about that Thursday, because I'm pretty sure he did that.
You know, Walker Buehler pitched in Coors last week.
Yep, that was probably part of the equation for him.
And he
was thinking that the last week that they, well, no, the way that race is going, it seemed quite likely that this week they would need him.
Right.
Or would want to use them. I don't know. Ask him about it. I'll listen. I'll be interested to hear his answer.
I absolutely will. I'm looking forward to hearing that too. Like many things. Speaking of the Dodgers, they've won 100 games and yet they're still two games out behind the Giants. Mm-hmm. It's crazy how good the Giants have been. And you know, two games behind the Giants. Every time the Dodgers win, the Giants win. Giants just lost Brandon Belt, broken thumb. That's a bad loss there. But you know, odds are pretty starkly against the Dodgers catching them.
Yeah, I think I thought all along the Dodgers would catch them. I didn't think they'd blow them out of the water at any point, but I thought all along they would catch them. They are not going to catch them. I don't think that. I just don't. The way the Giants have played this season so tough, like they have not gone into a funk at any point, that I just don't think they'll let the Dodgers catch them. Like, I think the Giants will win their four games or so. The Dodgers probably won't win every game this week. The Giants will probably win four or so. The Dodgers, I think, will come away with the division. The Giants have done a really good job. I'm not a Giants fan. Maybe they've had a little funks, but they haven't gone into that big funk where they let the Dodgers, you know, like surpass them. They've managed to, you lose a couple games, but you save yourself from a big losing streak.
Yeah. The Dodgers get are at home this week for the six games, but they get the Padres and Milwaukee. Padres would love, love to hurt the Dodgers here. There's no doubt about that. What a disappointing season for San Diego, though, especially the way they collapsed. And then Milwaukee, I think they'd love to kind of get off that Dodgers track by making sure they're the wild card. But, you know, well, I guess either way, it's just, I mean, I think that Milwaukee, the one thing about Milwaukee is they might be like managing their innings. You know, it's currently scheduled to be Lauer, Burns, and Peralta. I could see Burns and Peralta going very limited here at the end.
Maybe. I will guess that I don't think the Brewers want to get swept going into the playoffs.
True. Like
they probably like to avoid that. So I think the Brewers ideally would love to split those first two games of that series, get a win. They can go ahead and lose on the Sunday. They can sit everyone on a Sunday. I don't think they're going to let Burns throw seven innings, but I think that I don't know if the Brewers will want to go into the playoffs. Yeah. On a sweep by another playoff team. It's just a crummy vibe. Well, then they sit for a few days and wait for, you know, the break in the wild card games. I mean, it's not a huge deal, but I think they'd probably like to get at least one win in that series. I think the Giants, what is the Giants schedule? I think they'll hold serve. And when, like I said, they're four or five, they'll need to win.
So the Giants have Arizona at home and then San Diego at home.
Yeah. So San Diego kind of cancels both of them, have San Diego, but having that Arizona, the Giants got the lead, the easier schedule. I think they put it away. Like they probably put it away here pretty much in the first series. Maybe if they can sweep Arizona, they just need the Dodgers to fumble once and all of a sudden that lead goes to three games.
Right. Now, I don't know what the tiebreaker is. I don't know. I don't think you play a tiebreaker for divisions.
No, I think
you
it's head-to-head.
You actually, you do.
Oh, you do?
Because it matters, obviously.
Oh, right, because a wild card, you're
and
right.
And that happened.
Yeah.
Remember the Cubs and the Brewers and the Rockies had that little...
Yep.
Like, we're going to have the play-in for the, you know, I think it was Cubs-Brewers first to see who would get the division. And then it was Cubs-Rockies to see who would get the wild card.
Right.
Right? Or did I have it backwards? Point is, like... They had that triangulation there. Or no, the,
yeah, I think you're right. Yep.
Yeah. So yeah, I think that it's possible still that they could get in even an extra game, which would be wild. I was just gonna say, what if like somehow the Dodgers go 6-0 and the Giants go 4-2? That would be just wild.
Yeah, it would be. Yeah.
So that's there. Okay, finally, the AL wild card, Fred. This is what it's all about for you. It's super close. You got the currently, the Yankees are the first wild card. They're one game up on the Red Sox, who are one game up on the Jays, and a game and a half up on the Mariners. We can't rule the Mariners out. I think the A's, they're technically alive. They're in the technically alive category.
Yeah, absolutely. And good for the Mariners for getting a win last night. Like, right? They're still hanging in there. I mean, they've been – is any team more surprising this year? I know the Giants are surprising for sure.
Giants,
like with definitely. What the Giants, I guess, are the most surprising. The Mariners are still like they're the second most surprising team. I'm just really impressed. I thought they would fall way out of this race by now.
How about the Rays though? Too, they trade away Snell, they let Morton walk, and they've run away with the division and the best record in the American League.
I mean, the Rays almost can't be surprising to me anymore because we just believe the Rays are superior to all of us and know what they're doing. Now, I will say that I give the Mariners also a lot of credit for being surprising. They have a minus 52 run differential. They've been surprising / lucky, right? Mm-hmm. To be 17 wins over 500 with a minus 52 run differential is like they have the same run differential basically as the Tigers.
Yeah.
Who have 75 wins. So they have a worse run differential than the Mets, who have 73 wins. They're basically the same one as the Rockies, who have have 71 wins. So they've been lucky, but good for them and good for their fans.
They do the little things right, Fred. They're not lucky.
Yeah. They know when they're not getting blown out.
There's a little balance to that.
Yeah, for sure. Anyways, back to the real race, which is my Blue Jays against the Yankees with the Red Sox there in the middle, who get Baltimore in the start of the week.
Mm-hmm.
And the Red Sox, I think, have a chance to kind of put that away if they could sweep Baltimore and at least get themselves maybe one of those tickets.
You know what, though? Yeah, I mean, it's funny. The Red Sox definitely have the best schedule. Joe Sheehan was writing about that in his article yesterday in this newsletter, how they have a huge advantage because, like, the A's and Mariners are playing each other, and the Yankees and Jays are playing each other, where – as the Red Sox, they get Baltimore and then they get the Nats. And, you know, so they're set for both series. Whereas, you know, the Yankees, at least over the weekend, the Yankees get Tampa Bay. Now we'll see how hard Tampa Bay tries. Will Shane Baz and McClanahan, will they be allowed to go more than three innings? You know, are they just going to get work in to get set up? I had a tough call on McClanahan and Baz. I ended up rostering both in my main, but because I just couldn't find better alternatives, but there's a real fear that they don't do a whole lot of work these in their respective starts.
Yeah, I picked up Baz in my main and in another league, and I'm using him. I feel like maybe he has such limited major league experience that the Rays probably wouldn't mind to let him throw at least five innings. I have the same theory on the Rays I have on the Brewers, just that they probably don't want to go into the playoffs getting swept just by the Yankees. They probably want to win at least one of those games just to keep things rolling. They probably love to win two. Or all three and really put it to the Yankees. But I think they would love to
knock the Yankees out.
Absolutely. But I think, I mean, you think about what the crowd's going to be like in Tampa for a playoff game. Would you rather have the Blue Jays there or the Yankees? Because you're going to get a way more Rays-friendly crowd if you have the Blue Jays there.
I don't know. There's a lot of transported Canadians living down in Florida, Fred.
Some. The border's been closed for a long time. There are some.
They live down there.
They live down there. You're right. Yeah. It's the snowbirds and everything. Snowbirds can be really loud
and are very, you know, avid fans and all that.
But I don't know. I just feel like the Yankees fans travel so well.
Right.
There's so many of them out there. But anyways, I think how about this? If you were me, would you use Baz at the Yankees or would you go back to the well on Tyler Anderson against the exact same Angels team that just thumped him?
You're getting two starts out of Anderson this week, perhaps. So probably going in versus one start of Baz, where he may be short.
No, Anderson, Tyler Anderson is just a one start.
I think he doesn't he go tonight and then goes again on Sunday?
No, because he started Saturday.
Oh, and we
let me just now you're giving me something to think about. Did they bump him up because he only threw two innings?
I think they might have him be pitching on short rest.
I'm looking at the wrong date right now.
Yeah, he's scheduled to start tonight's game. That's what Ryan Divish of the Seattle Times reports. They're going four.
Oh, I can't start him anymore. Anyways, they pitched already. They played already this week. He's locked.
Seattle went six men all season. Now they're down to four.
It makes sense. They're pulling at all the stops
lately. Did you know that? You said Kikuchi has been really bad lately, unfortunately.
Yes, really bad. And isn't starting. No, wait, isn't it? What's his name starting? Bush.
No.
Didn't they just call this guy up to start tonight? Isn't it? Hang on.
You hang on. No.
Matthew Bush.
Matt Bush. Wait,
not Matt D-Man. Bush. I got the wrong guy. This is peak podcasting here. I don't usually do this, but the Mariners have a guy who I swear
Matt
a prospect.
Brash.
That's it.
He's supposed to make his debut in relief. He's supposed to piggyback. So Anderson might go short on this game.
Right. Which would make perfect sense.
That would be a bold call to have him start, wouldn't you say? Or would it be Brash?
Yeah, I think so. I saw him debuting and I just assumed he was the starter, and it was too late to add him in any of our weekly leagues. So I just kind of glossed over it. It would make sense. Anderson on short rest. It would make sense that he throws three innings tonight or something, four maybe. And then Brash comes in and then they try to save Anderson for Sunday if they could still use him. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Now I can't use Anderson anyways. He's locked.
Yep. Yeah.
So it's too late. It's Shane Baz. So who's listed actually on the RotoWire, he's listed as on Sunday. He used to be listed as, I think, Saturday. Now he's listed as on Sunday. So we'll see how deep
they
let him.
Makes it worse, obviously. You know, the later he's slated, you know, the less likely that game matters.
It's true. And could the game not matter for the Yankees? There's a pretty good chance.
Anything's possible.
Yeah, if the Yankees have a good, if the Yankees have a good series against the Blue Jays, they could put that away and they won't care on the Sunday. So Shane Baz will be facing a lot of backups.
Yeah.
And maybe the Rays let him throw five to just because, like I said, he has such little major league experience that maybe they let him throw five. I don't know.
They used McClanahan in relief in the playoffs last year. Point being is they're willing to use anybody in the playoffs if they're the best players. So we could still see it.
Yep. Absolutely.
You could definitely see him starting. That would be fun. That would be a lot of fun.
Yep.
Okay. We got about 5-10 minutes left here. Would you rather talk a little Mondesi? Would you rather talk pitchers in the first round? What do you want to cut to next year?
Let's talk first round because I just had an article come out today on the first round and people get mad whenever you talk about the first round and you don't agree with, and you don't agree exactly with who they want in the first round. And I feel like everybody's already made up their mind on Mondesi. You're either cool with him and you give him another shot this year and hope for the 70 steals. He has something, I forget how many steals he has in September, but it's ridiculous.
13, I think, right?
Yeah, it's what you were hoping him to do all season.
Yep.
And so if you want to draft him and hope for 60 or 70 steals last year, next year, go for it. And if you don't believe he can stay healthy, then don't pick him.
Okay.
It's really that simple with Mondesi. I don't know where he'll go. There's one in every league who's going to take him.
Yeah, and if he's healthy in spring training, the later, you know, as we get into that.
He'll go up and up and up.
Second round and like, no.
I don't think he can get to the second round after this season. I don't even know if he can get in the third.
I guarantee he can get in the third.
Oh, if
CJ CJ Kaltenbach Esquire will definitely play in one league where he goes in the third. And there are others. There are others. He will go in the third. I guarantee you if he's healthy in spring, he'll go there, but we'll see. I could be wrong. I won't guarantee it. That's wrong. I'm not lying. But because there's nothing backing my guarantee. So it'd be kind of just an empty promise. Let's go back to your first round. So you go Tatis one. Okay, fine. Go Trey Turner two. You know, so just saying one, by the way, I'm just glossing over the fact he's number one overall.
As I put in the article, you either take Tatis one or you're not drafting him because you don't trust his shoulder.
Yeah. And a lot will find out after his surgery. Because remember, he's got surgery coming up.
Yeah. Yeah. So I mentioned in the article that so far nothing's been done to permanently fix this problem. So right now, you don't know. We'll see how this all goes and how spring training goes. But if you feel good about his shoulder, I don't know how you pass up on him. If you don't, then he's off your list completely because he's going really high.
You know, honestly, they could have like shut him down this week.
Yep.
Arguably should have. But, you know, that obviously you like bite your tongue there. He's my key to my run here in the last week. But
yeah.
The point is, though, I mean, they have all the reason to do so in the world now that they're out. Okay, so who's number two for you?
Right. So I put Trey Turner second, narrowly over Bo Bichette. I feel like they're pretty similar skill sets, like 20-something homers. Turner maybe a little more steals potential. More I pick Turner just because he's done it longer, but it's still young enough. So I put him ahead of Bichette. I feel like they're a pretty similar guy. Maybe power swings a bit towards Bichette. Maybe steals swing a bit towards Turner. I like Turner now that the Dodgers aren't hitting him, that he's on the Dodgers and they're not hitting him lead off. I kind of like that for RBIs. Yeah. So I put those guys right now, two and three.
Okay. But well, Bichette at three is going to open some eyes though. I don't think people realize the category
maybe
here. And this has got to be a lineup play too, that you realize you think that they're going to remain elite.
Yeah.
Even if they lose Semien, they're going to remain elite. I don't think they lose. I think they've got to be the favorite to retain him, but we'll see what they offer at the same time.
Yeah. And I know I talked to you about wanting Vlad really high and he's up next as my fourth guy. But the more I got into breaking down the numbers, you know, Vlad might hit for a higher average than Bichette and Turner, but the averages from Bichette and Turner are still really good. Like those guys are still Turner's career 300 hitter and Bichette is in the 290s. So, you know, Vlad, I might get a little more batting average, but I think I want some batting average in the first round. I'm not interested in Ohtani really in comparison, I think, to the field, but I'd like to get some steals. And I know there's some people saying you don't need very many steals anymore. I'd still like to get 20 or 30 in the first round if I can.
Okay.
If I'm going to take a first round hitter.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Fair enough. Five, Juan Soto. He has been so on fire since the All-Star break. People don't realize because the Nats have been out of it, but I mean, they realize because it's Juan Soto. And we always talk about Juan Soto, but man, he's been so good.
Absolutely. And I think my two concerns with Soto, well, I guess I got maybe more than two. One is obviously that he doesn't steal a lot of bases, but he does steal a little more than Vlad. My bigger concerns, one is that I don't know how good the Nats are going to be next year, right? Like, do I want to spend a pick any higher than that? Like on talent, you could put Soto even higher. It's just my two concerns are I don't know what kind of lineup he's going to be in, and he hits way too few fly balls. And we haven't seen him yet be like a 40 home run guy. He's got a 34 this year. He's been pretty healthy. He's at 29. So let's say he finishes at 30. I don't think I can get it. Can go any higher than this. He could be the best hitter in baseball. He might actually be the best hitter in baseball right now. I don't know if I can move him up. If I'm thinking 10 steals and 35 homers in a bat in an average lineup or below average lineup.
Yeah. We'll see what the Nats do this off season.
Yeah.
To build around him. If anything, that'll be a big key. But yeah, I mean, I'll sign up for 40, 10 and 300 something though. I mean, that sounds pretty tasty to me, but the lack of RBI is the thing that's could be scary.
Yes.
He's going to walk 200 times next year if they don't build around him at all. Willingly, you know,
and it's just so high. Like once you start pushing him to like third overall or something, that's really hard to get him up to that. For me, if I saw the Nats sign some guys, then maybe who are good, I might be interested to go that high.
Right.
Yeah.
So the first pitcher is an interesting debate next year. Because in the past, it was no brainer. It's DeGrom.
Yeah.
And then it's Cole. Who's your number one starter and for right now if you were ranking for 2022?
Yeah. So I put Corbin Burns there. Just looking at like a lot of factors. First of all, his FIP's ridiculous. It's about 1.5. So, you know, some of the advanced stats say he could be even better than he's been this season. Strikeout to walk ratio is a great performance indicator for pitchers. He's the best in baseball among qualified pitchers. He's the best in baseball. And the Brewers moved his innings up this year, but I think they could move them up. It could be a Walker Buehler type thing where they move them up even more next year. And then that allows him to maybe lead the majors in strikeouts. So I put him first right now. Obviously, DeGrom's first no problem if you want to bet on his arm for next season. If you think it's the pitching version of Tatis, except probably even scarier. A lot scarier. That's right. You either believe in DeGrom, or if you have that, also if you go into your league with that theory of like, I'm not here to finish fifth, so I'm going to take DeGrom, and if I get 28, 30 starts, I can win it with him. And if I get seven or 12 starts, then whatever. I'm not winning this.
Yeah, league. You're going with the mentality that I could get them to 1.1 player by a wide 100%. Margin with the seventh pick or sixth or seventh pick.
Yeah. So or for now, I put Burns, then DeGrom, then Cole. I think Cole's the safest of the three, just because he's been good for several years in a row. His team's good. You know, I think he's probably the safest of the three. But and then DeGrom's that guy. You could take DeGrom you could take him first, and I wouldn't argue with you.
Yeah.
So, and if you don't want him on your list, then that's fine too. But I think Burns is interesting, and I kind of put him there. Maybe I'm proving a point a little bit, but I think he belongs in that discussion with how he's pitched this year and how good the Brewers are. The other one will be the NLDH that'll be part of that equation with Burns.
Of course. I think there is a slight danger in extrapolating rate stats with extra volume.
Yeah. That
with extra volume, maybe the rate stats decline a little bit.
Yep, for sure. Yeah.
Just in terms of efficiency, also health risk goes up a little bit. You know, all those things are, can apply there.
Yeah.
But you definitely aren't looking. You're not mentioning Cole here as one of your choices. Yeah, he is number eight on your list, but he's definitely behind those other two starters.
Well, I mean, with DeGrom, I feel like by the end of by mid to late March, I'll probably either have DeGrom like well ahead of Cole or well behind him. It'll be more about DeGrom moving. I think Cole's like a really solid first round pick. Like if you're willing to go pitcher in the first round, I think him and Buehler are the really safe first round picks. Like Buehler's got a pretty clean injury history. The Dodgers now have let him throw some length. I put him in the first round too, shortly after those guys. The problem with Buehler is the strikeout rate. Cole can get you the strikeouts that Buehler can't. You know, but Buehler, I think, will probably give you better ratios than Cole. So I think the more I looked into it, I think there's a lot of pitchers who you can consider in the first round.
Yeah. Give me, man, a 12 teamer. I don't mind being at the back of the first round.
Yeah. Especially because now I made my first round pretty pitcher heavy, and I put Scherzer in it. I don't know if Scherzer will get that high. I think he will in some NFBC leagues, because especially near late March when pitchers really get pushed up. But I think in a lot of other leagues, how about this? I think in our labor draft, I think Scherzer will go in the second round. That's a 15 teamer. I'm going to predict in February he goes in the second round, because I don't think
even if he signs with the Dodgers,
I don't think this many pitchers that I have listed, or Burns will then. I don't think this many pitchers will go in the first round in that labor draft. They typically don't. Like, I think three or four of these guys will, but I think you could sit at the end of the first round and get one of these guys maybe early in the second round. But you're right. In a 12-team league, like I have Jose Ramirez 12th. That's a great foundation of power and speed. And then I couldn't even squeeze Mookie Betts into the whole thing. I wouldn't argue with anyone who took Mookie Betts in the first round.
Yeah, I was just going to say, notable omissions. Mookie Betts, Ronald Acuna, Mike Trout.
Yeah.
I know you got some feedback on Twitter about Trout already. That was pretty funny. And then, you're always going to run into the I never draft pitchers in the first round crowd.
Yep.
You're always going to get a couple of those, unless you play the NFBC and then you realize, people do that there all the time.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, some people just don't want to consider it. I mean, I believe Phil's main event team that's winning the main right now, he drafted DeGrom. So he drafted a pitcher in the first round, and it wasn't even a guy who, I mean, he got a lot out of DeGrom until he was hurt, but didn't even totally work out. And he's winning an overall. So, like, you don't have to draft a hitter in the first round to hit your targets. And, you know, like we see Adam Duvall with all these RBIs, and, you know, and Mitch Haniger just hit homer 37 last night. So like you can get hitters in the mid rounds, late rounds who turn out great. You don't have to draft a hitter in the first round. You totally can. You have to have a plan for your pitching. And if that plan is you want to start with Cole and then you get some hitters, like go for it. You can draft a pitcher in the first round, but you're right. There's the never pitcher in the first round crowd that I feel like some of those guys just will not change their minds. And that's their prerogative.
Yeah. They might be citing Shane Bieber as their evidence.
Yeah.
Shane Bieber going to start on Thursday. Where does he go in your mind?
I'd say probably like late round two, assuming spring. This is all for these pitchers, like him, assuming spring training is going well. So mm-hmm. I'll say, especially because he just popped into round one once. So I'm more thinking 15 teamers. I'll get more specific and say, I'll say he goes like pick 25 ish. Do you think that's probably accurate? 25 to 30?
Perhaps. He was really good in his first outing.
Yeah.
You know, three shutout innings. So you got to like that. Perfect innings for that matter.
Yeah. Acuna is the other guy on this list. Like I said, I put him in the almost made it. We just don't know what to do with Acuna right now. He could, if he looks like he's ready in spring training,
then he's a first rounder.
Absolutely. Especially if he'll still, if you believe he'll run right away coming back off that knee injury, then he's an easy first rounder. Yeah. And he bumps some of these guys and then he bumps everyone down a spot or like half that first round. He's going to bump them all down a spot. Exactly. But I'm guessing right now just that he either won't be ready for opening day or I don't know, something. I just don't like that's a significant knee injury. I just don't know if I'm not putting him in my first round right now.
Yeah. Again, you'll by the time you draft, you'll have seen something. So there is
not when we draft in labor, that's its own. And I'm sure you'll be doing
it's always right before the pitchers and catchers report. Yeah. Right.
And I imagine you do some like FSTA or something like that over in January that, like we see some of those first big drafts come out in January where we won't have any of that information. So someone's going to have to decide what they're taking a chance on with DeGrom and with Acuna.
Yep. That's right.
Yeah. Yep.
All right. This is the end, Fred.
This is
our last pod of the season. You and I, I've got Phil Deseaux on Thursday. Jensen and I are going to close shop on Sunday.
Love it.
And then James Anderson's going to do podcasts all off season. So we will have podcasts, but you and I will have to do a special one after the Blue Jays win the World Series to celebrate. We'll do that.
If the Blue Jays win the World Series, I will be happy to do any podcast anytime. All right, absolutely.
Very good. Yeah. Very good. Any parting shots, anything else you want to promote, talk about before we sign off?
No, I just want to say to everyone listening, you know, thanks for listening this year to ours and to all the other RotoWire podcasts on the other days. I listen to all the other ones too. And, you know, and I'd be happy to run it back next year. And good luck to everyone in the last few days with their leagues.
Yeah, I am too. I'm looking forward to it. And thanks everybody for listening. Thanks to WynnBET for your sponsorship, their exclusive sponsorship of all RotoWire Fantasy podcasts this fall. We got Clay and James at you again tomorrow. Have a great day. Take care.